Wouldn't you like your clients to refer to you as a thought leader? It has a nice ring to it. And who doesn't love a thought leader? In fact, if you want to distinguish yourself and your firm from the competition, thought leadership is a terrific way to do it. But what is thought leadership? Does it mean you have to write a best-selling book? Do you have to be written about in the New York Times or interviewed on television? Well, reality TV stars and notorious criminals all have achieved those things, so I wouldn't hold them up as the ultimate litmus test for being a thought leader. Thought leadership is an extraordinarily important topic for aspiring client advisors. So in the next three lessons, I'm going to look at what it means to be a thought leader, the different kinds of thought leadership you can develop, how to evaluate whether or not someone really is a thought leader, and different ways of spreading your thought leadership. Thought leadership can mean different things to different people, so let me give you a working definition of someone who exercises it. A thought leader is recognized by his or her clients as having fresh and insightful ideas, strategies, and perspectives on an important area of their business. Put another way, a thought leader is someone who is a recognized authority in a particular area of specialization. That recognition starts with your target client market. Eventually, and ideally, recognition of you as a thought leader will also come from competitors, colleagues, the media, and other constituencies. Now, that's pretty general, and the reason is that thought leaders come in many shapes and sizes. At one extreme, Peter Drucker was a towering thought leader in the field of management. He wrote 39 books and revolutionized many aspects of organizational leadership. But most of us aren't going to be a Peter Drucker. So let's look at this in more detail and see how you can develop your own thought leadership without feeling like you're competing with Peter Drucker or a Jim Collins. In working with many great professionals over the years, I've seen three major types of thought leaders. I'm going to call them innovators, synthesizers, and masters. They overlap a bit, but they do represent three routes to thought leadership. First, there are innovators. Author and Harvard professor Howard Gardner wrote a famous book called Extraordinary Minds. In it, he analyzes and categorizes geniuses. His first category he calls makers. These are individuals who create a whole new field. His example of a maker is Sigmund Freud, who created the field of psychoanalysis. Others might include Aristotle, for example, who created the whole framework that we use today for organizing knowledge itself. For our purposes, let's call this type of thought leader the innovator. An example in business would be Harvard's Michael Porter, who developed the Five Forces framework for strategy development, or Chan Kim, who wrote Blue Ocean Strategy. There's a second type of thought leader, who I call the synthesizer. I would put Jim Collins, who wrote Built to Last and Good to Great, in this category. He studied many companies and synthesized a framework for looking at how you build a great enduring organization. There's nothing truly revolutionary about his work. It's more of a brilliant codification of what works well rather than a whole new way of looking at the world. Synthesizers identify patterns and build on existing ideas to create an improved or new framework. The third type of thought leader is the master. A master is the ultimate practitioner, someone who exemplifies the highest level of excellence in a particular field. Back to Howard Gardner's book, he uses Mozart as an example of a master. Mozart was someone